$20.
Yeah.
What? Who's that?
Smokey.
Smokey? Smokey Sullivan?
Yeah.
Holy! You always call people at 5:30 in the morning? Oh, hiya, Smokey. How are things down in New York?
I'm living out here in Flintstone now.
Oh?
You know about the big fire out here?
Now, Smokey, don't tell me you've been up to your old tricks.
You know I wouldn't do nothing like that, Johnny, after the good way you've been treating me.
Well, I hope not. But what about this fire?
Big warehouse.
There in San Francisco.
The Barnwell Warehouse. It's still burning, Johnny.
Arson?
Yeah. I know who did it.
There must be insurance at a big warehouse.
Yeah.
So as soon as I can check it out, I'll, look, where'll I find you?
Where you stay, Johnny?
Let's see, at the Huntington Hotel up on Knob Hill.
Me? In a nice place like that?
Oh, unless I know where to call you.
It's okay, Johnny. I'll call you.
And you're sure, Sergeant?
I'm sure.
Then I'll see you. Bailey, in the exciting adventure committed by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Greater Southwest Insurance Company San Francisco office, following us an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Frisco fire matter. First of all, I had to make sure my expenses to the West Coast wouldn't have to come out of my own pocket. So expense account item 1 10 cents for a call has got Pat McCracken of Universal Adjustment Bureau out of his bed. I asked him to dig up some facts and figures for me in a hurry. Within 20 minutes, he called me back. Johnny Dollar.
Well, Johnny, I've been on the phone to San Francisco ever since you called me. You were right.
About the big fire.
Yeah. How did you find out about it?
Never mind that, Pat. Just keep talking.
Well, it's a warehouse. It's owned and operated by Mr. Peter H. Barnwell. And he has an office in 1427 Camac Street.
1427 Camac. Got it. And the insurance?
$340,000.
Wow.
Carried by Greater Southwest Insurance Company.
Pat, if I hurry, I can just make plane connections.
Now, wait a minute.
Thanks,
Johnny.
Pat. Thanks a lot. Item 2. 201-88 plane fare. Hartford to New York to San Francisco. And believe me, those jet flights on American get you there in a hurry. I left New York at 8 a.m. and pulled into San Francisco before noon. Pacific time, of course. Item 3 is time for a newspaper at the airport. Apparently, the fire had burned itself out. Item 4, 675, taxi to Peter H. Barnwell's office on Camac Street. The reception room was jammed.
No. No, there's no point in sending anybody over here because he won't see them. Now.
Listen, chick, I'll get you tickets for any show in town if you...
No! I tell you, he won't see any of you.
Not even me?
No. Now, why don't you reporters just go back to your papers and wait until Mr. Barnwell's ready to talk to you?
My card, miss.
It's no use, mister.
Will you read it, please?
But he doesn't want to see any reporters, right? Oh.
Yeah.
Just a minute, Mr. Dollar.
Now, how do you rate that, buddy? What paper are you from?
The Bingville Bugle.
Huh?
Yeah. That's out near Bum Spung, Oklahoma.
Oh, now, look, wise guy. Look.
Mr. Dollar?
Dollar?
Will you come in, please, Mr. Dollar?
Sure.
Oh, now, wait a minute. This is Johnny Dollar, the insurance agent.
Right in here, sir.
Thanks.
Hey, wait a minute.
Sit down, Mr. Dollar. Make yourself at home.
Well, I must say you aren't at all upset about the loss of your warehouse.
Should I be? Sit down.
Sure.
Mr. Dollar, that building's been a losing proposition for years. Because of its bad location, because of zoning restrictions, and the cost of tearing it down. I've done nothing but lose money on it.
Oh.
But I've been very careful to keep up the insurance. So, now that it's gone up in flames, I shall at long last collect on it.
$340,000.
That's right. And with whatever I can get from some other misguided investor to the land itself, I'll be sitting pretty.
I see.
Now, don't get any funny ideas, Mr. Investigator. The police have found nothing whatsoever to suggest arson. Nor will they.
You sound pretty sure of that.
I'm sure of it.
Even if it were a job that you didn't have done.
I'm sure of it.
You know something, Mr. Barnwell? I'm not.
So you can be of any help in putting through my...
Did you hear what I said?
I heard, Mr. Dollar. Just worry me a bit.
Hey, Dollar!
And the fiscal fire matter. Expense account item 5, $2 for a taxi. In my opinion, Peter H. Barnwell has the warehouse fire set. But opinions don't count in my business. You've got to have proof. And I haven't yet got together with my informant, Smokey Sullivan. Smokey wants to clever arsonist himself. Later, a counterfeiter and bootlegger. Just about everything in the book. But from the time he helped me with a case a couple of years ago, he stayed on the straight and narrow. And of course, I've always paid him well for his help. Before going into my hotel, I stopped in to see Bill Mullen at the Arson Squad.
Yeah, the papers say you're in town, Johnny. Glad to see you.
Yeah, how are you, Bill?
But there's no reason for you to be here about that fire.
Well, that's so.
We've already found out how it started.
How, Bill?
Some old derelict, name of Stumpy Moran. He used to sleep there every night. Had an old iron bed and a little sort of shack on one side of that warehouse.
Yeah.
So last night, like a lot of the darn fools all over the country every night, he went to bed loaded and with a cigarette. Result? No more mattress, no more shack, no more warehouse.
Well, are you holding him?
Also, no more Stumpy Moran.
He died in the fire?
Yep.
And you're sure that's how it started?
Johnny, when you've combed through evidence on as many cases like that as I have, there's no mistaking it.
But now, Bill,
all the way from the source of the blaze to the empty bottle. The carbonized paper from the cigarette. The foil from the cigarette package. The hair from the mattress. A thousand and one little things that the ordinary person wouldn't even think to look for. So listen.
Yeah?
Be a nice guy and call off the papers, will you?
Why?
Because they saw you over in Barnwell's office, they've decided it was arson, and they're calling us a bunch of bums. The only reason they do it is to make headlines. So call them up and tell them to lay off, will you? Set them straight.
Not until I'm sure they aren't right, Bill.
Huh? Now, wait a minute. What's that mean?
I'll see you later. Item 6, another taxi to the hotel Huntington up on our bill. I went straight to my room and sat down to wait for Smokey Sullivan to call. I didn't have to wait long. Smokey?
Yeah.
Well, I hear they found out how that fire started.
Stumpy.
That's right, Stumpy Moran.
He was a friend of mine. Not much brains, Johnny, but a nice old guy. But Johnny.
Yeah?
He didn't do it.
But they found all the evidence. He's been drinking and smoking in bed.
He never touched a drop, Johnny.
You sure?
He didn't smoke, neither. I know. He was my pal.
Where are you smoking?
You know where the Hungry Angel is?
The cocktail bar over on the...
That's right. Take the alley and back. I'm in the phone booth at the end of it. I'll be waiting for you.
Okay. Now listen.
Yeah?
Do you know who did set that fire?
Yeah. The only guy in the whole country who could leave no trace.
Wait a minute.
And they won't even question him because he's been living straight for so long.
Touchy Thompson.
Yeah. Lives in a nice house on Althea Drive, 527. But he ain't there.
How do you know?
A note on his door says, gone fishing.
You're absolutely sure it was he?
I'm the only one knew where to look for a signer on that fire, and I found it there. I'll show it to you.
Proof, huh?
Yes, sir, Johnny. I can prove that warehouse was set by... Oh, no.
Smokey. Smokey!
Sensible. Up to date.
In the alley behind the Hungry Angel, I found a couple of policemen carefully going over every inch of the phone booth where Smokey called me.
Yeah, that's right. Conroy heard the shots and came running back here. You have the angle of that bullet, old Conroy?
Hey, listen. What about Smokey?
City hospital, but he's going to live, Dollar. Not a chance.
And you have no idea who shot him?
No. But you're a smart dick. Why don't you find out for us?
All right, now look.
Now, let me tell you something else, too, Dollar. If that warehouse fire had been a torch job, which it wasn't, like you're blabbing it out to all the papers, your dear pal Smokey Sullivan is the only one that could have done it. So his being knocked off is good riddance.
Why smoking?
Because we got every other firebug in this town nailed down. That's why.
Want to bet?
Mr. Dollar, I honestly don't understand this, considering the way one of those bullets nicked his heart. But it looks as though that man Sullivan will live.
Now, the point is, Doctor, can I talk to him?
Well, you can try, of course.
Oh, this way, Mr. Dollar.
But he was not able to give anything to the police who just left.
And listen, Doctor, do everything you can for him, will you? I'll put the bill.
Oh, very well. Right in here. Thank
you. You mind if I talk to him alone?
If you like. And if you can.
Thanks. Smokey. Smokey.
Hi, Johnny.
Oh, hi. Yeah, the doc says you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Can't get rid of me.
Tell the boy, Smokey.
I didn't talk to the cops. Just looked at him like I was dead.
If you know what. Hey, Smokey, did you see who put the slugs into you?
No, Johnny. But it must have been Touchy. Touchy Thompson. Same as he set that fire.
Yeah. All right, now listen. You're in no shape to go over there and show me. But if the arson squad found no trace, then believe me, they know everything to look for.
Chemicals.
What?
Touchy had chemicals, special chemicals. Never left a trace.
Everything leaves a trace of some kind.
No. You need a gas mask. That's what must have knocked out Stumpy Moran. And Touchy could plant the liquor, the cigarette.
Then I guess the only thing I can do is try to find Touchy Thompson.
Johnny.
Yeah?
If you do, Johnny, be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Act four of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Ramble of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account item 7520, more taxi fare. There was nobody home at Touchy Thompson's place. Only the note on the door Smokey had told me about. Gone fishing. Fishing, huh? He was probably hiding somewhere around the town, waiting for the atmosphere to clear. But how to bring him out in the open? Then I suddenly remembered an old friend of mine, Maury Webster, head man at station KCBS. I'd have made a dollar even for a cab to the Sheraton College from the KCBS studio.
Well, it is a pleasant surprise, although I had heard you're in town.
How are you, Maury?
Up to my neck. We're in the midst of a big celebration. You know, our 50th anniversary.
Oh?
Yes, sir. We're the first broadcasting station in the country, and we're kind of proud of it.
Well, I should think you would be. Let me add my congratulations.
Thank you, Johnny. And what brings you here?
Maury, when is your next news broadcast?
Let's see. And I'm also hit the air in just about 7 minutes.
That'll just give me time to knock out a news item for him to read on the air.
Oh, what kind?
I'll tell you what, I'm scribbling it, if you don't mind.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Maury, I have a sneaking suspicion it'll flush out an arsonist.
Oh?
Yeah. And kill her. As briefly as possible, I told Maury Webster my plan, the wireless. I handed him the news item I'd cooked up. He penciled in a couple of minor changes. Then gave it to a top man in the news bureau, Don Mosley. A few minutes later, there in his office, we listened to a beam broadcast over the powerful facilities of KCBS.
...situation. On the local scene, Weller-Cook insurance investigator Johnny Dollar to clear up the matter of the Barnwell warehouse fire.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Dollar has proved conclusively that it was set by an old hand at that business named Smokey Sullivan. His reason? To kill another man by the name of Moran, whose body was later found buried in the embers. Incidentally, Sullivan himself has just died as a result of bullet wounds, no doubt inflicted by some friend of Moran's, who's sought to avenge his murder.
Well,
as for the holdup that occurred earlier this morning on the Embarcadero.
Well, I hope it does the trick down there. What are you going to do now?
Maury, there's going to be a stakeout at the home of one John R. Thompson, formerly known as Touchy Thompson, out on Aldea Drive.
Oh, then you're turning this whole thing over to the police.
That stakeout will be me.
But if Thompson did set that fire and killed Moran,
I still have to prove it.
Well, don't you think it's a little dangerous, Johnny?
Could be.
Well, in just a minute.
Thanks, Maureen. Thanks a lot. So I went out to Aldea Drive again, and I parked myself rather uncomfortably behind a hedge across the street in Thompson's place. Finally, it must have been around 10 p.m., an expensive car pulled up, and a man loaded with fishing gear went into the house. I waited a couple of minutes, and then I went over, knocked on the door, walked in, introduced myself, and laid a few cards right on the table.
You're crazy, Dollar. You need to know about that fire that you showed me just now.
Why lie about it, Touchy?
Look, I've been fishing.
Yeah, for what? An alibi?
Oh, give me that for trout. Look here. Here they are.
Yeah, trout.
Ever see a nicer mess of them?
Pick them up at any market.
Not me.
All right, who was with you?
I was alone. I was over there camped beside the lake all the time. My sleeping bag's still out in the car.
What lake?
Mono Lake. It's a little over 200 miles east of here.
Yeah, I know it well.
Well, that's where I caught him.
I know it well enough to know that because of the high mineral content of that water, no trout could ever survive in it.
What? Oh. Well, look, wait a minute.
It's no good, Touchy, and with the proof I have that only you could have set that fire with some of your fancy chemicals.
What do you know about that? You got no proof.
Perhaps he has, Touchy.
Oh. Well, I'm glad to see you two know each other.
Very smart, weren't you, Touchy?
What do you mean?
I mean the way you felt for that phony news broadcast and came back here.
Phony?
And Dollar, thanks for setting the stage for me.
Yeah? What does that mean?
You came here because you suspected Touchy. You had a big argument. You both pulled your guns and killed each other.
No. Wait.
That's the only conclusion the police can possibly reach when they find your buddies lying.
Look.
No. Don't make a single move, Dollar. Neither of you will do anything because 5 seconds from now you'll both be dead.
Where you are?
What?
Pull that trigger, Barnwell. It's the last thing you'll ever do.
Bill.
Climb in this window, boys, and take care of
it. There isn't any need for violence, officer.
Yes, right, Barnwell, there isn't. All right.
Well, Johnny, now just what under the sun ever led you to come out here, Bill?
Your old friend Smokey Sullivan called me to the hospital. He was worried about you. You mind?
Mind? You've got to be kidding. Yeah, they were both ended up to their ears. Each in trying to defend himself, just put the other in there much deeper. And by the time the courts get through with them, they'll be sorry they ever lived. The expense account total, including the trip back to Hartford and a good hefty gratuity for Smokey Sullivan, plus all his hospital bills, $923.91. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.